I've been on this same kind of stream, I guess, for a while now. We think that we have to always be changing things up, you know. Anybody that's ever taught, you know, you can teach a subject and then say, well, what am I going to teach next week? You know, and then you teach that and then you say, well, what am I going to teach next week? And so you're kind of like looking for new material or something else to talk about or to share. But I've discovered that it's vitally important that we are speaking what he is speaking, that we are communicating what he's communicating, and not just some good idea or some book we read or something from a curriculum. A curriculum can be a tool, amen, but even as we would teach out of a booklet or a curriculum, we want to make sure that we're navigating by the Holy Spirit. And if God is saying, that's a dead letter, keep on moving, we just keep on moving until we discover where he's at in the teaching, and then we want to camp out right there. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight, is I think God has got us camping out in a certain passage and in a certain understanding here for a while, because what God wants to do is he wants to produce faith in our hearts. And faith comes by, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to be listening, and we have to repetitively hear. So how many have heard something over and over again but haven't understood it? And then one day it clicks, right? One day the Holy Spirit removes the veil and you're able to understand now what that passage was about. And so the subject has been overcoming the familiar. We are creatures of habit. We like to do what is comfortable, what is deep, you know, something that we can expect to happen, whatever we're used to doing in life. For example, I may be working a certain job, and I may be in a certain position in that job, and I may not want to budge from there because I've kind of gotten comfortable in my responsibility, and it may not be much of a responsibility, but I would certainly rather be comfortable doing what I'm doing, even though there are fewer benefits, than taking the plunge and maybe applying for something that might be an advancement or a supervisory role even. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because I'm just comfortable in the familiar place I'm at. And sometimes fear can paralyze us from stepping out and doing the will of God. So sometimes we just like to be where we've always been, doing what we've always been doing, and we don't like change. Because change is painful. I talked to a guy that's living on the street recently, and I asked him, because he's always coming around and asking me to give him something. But I'm asking him, I said, man, what are you doing to get yourself out of this situation? You know, are you just going to live, and he's a young man, I'm saying, you're going to live your entire life just like this, or are you going to get yourself into the position to where you can advance and step out of where you've been familiar? And I know, he says, well, it's hard. But I said, yeah, I know it's hard. But the issue is not whether it's hard, it's whether you will do it or not. Because obedience to the will of God sometimes is difficult. And most of the time, it's beyond what we can do, what? Naturally. God stretches us out of ourselves. He brings us into a place where we've never been before because he wants to do something supernatural, because he wants to display his power through our lives. But if we decide that I just want to stay where I'm at because I'm comfortable here, then we can miss the opportunity that God gives us to grow and to become mature as believers. Some people like to be baby Christians. Some people have been baby Christians for 30, 40, 50 years. They've never grown out of the infant state because of an unwillingness to step out of the familiar. And so I use the term, it's called the tyranny of the familiar. The tyranny of the familiar. And this describes a yoke that can crush the potential and personality of a human being. So in other words, even though where I'm at is not good, maybe I'm living in an abusive situation, it's not good, but it's what I know. It's what I'm familiar with. So I don't want to step out of something that I'm familiar with into something that can potentially be a lot better, because I'm just not sure what's going to happen to me if I step out of what's familiar into what's unfamiliar. Are you hearing me? So many people in life, they end up staying in the same place, doing the same thing, you know, resisting any change in their life because they're fearful of change. And how many know that fear is the opposite of faith? You can't operate in fear and operate in faith at the same time. Faith is my confidence in God's ability to do for me what I can't do for myself. It's my confidence in God's word that He will do what He said He would do. Tracking so far? So if God is calling me out of where I'm at, I'm not talking about necessarily, it could be a geographic relocation such as New Jersey. But we have to be willing to obey God. If that's the direction you sense God is moving you, then move to New Jersey. But I'm talking about just kind of being where we're at in our spiritual life and our walk and finding some kind of contentment and really in a state that God doesn't want us to remain in. But we don't want to stretch, we don't want to grow because we're fearful of change, because we're not really trusting that God will be there if we do step out for Him. Oh Lord, I don't want to talk to that person. What if? What if? What if? Oh, I don't want to speak that word because what if? I don't want to pray for that person because what if they're not healed? You get it? And so fear will paralyze you. It'll shut you down. What we need is confidence in our God. We need to see how awesome, how powerful, how omnipotent our God is. We got to get our eyes off the thing that the devil magnifies to make himself look so big. Quit listening to all the news reports, if you will. And all you hear is a magnification of evil. How bad and how gone and how impossible. And are you hearing me? So that you lose hope because in your mind's eye, everything is hopeless. I'll give you an illustration. You can take a dog as a puppy and you can put it in a kennel and you can feed that dog every day. And that dog can grow up within that kennel. And then the day can come where you take and open that door of the kennel and the dog will continue to sit in there. The door is open. He's free to roam freely, to get out. But because he is so used to the familiar, he can't see beyond the familiar. I've used the illustration of the fleas in a jar. You put fleas in a jar, you put the cap on, and those fleas will fly around in there. They'll hit their head a few times on the lid. Amen? And then a day or two later, you can take the lid off, and guess what? The fleas aren't going anywhere. The lid's off. Here you're, come on, somebody. The window's open. The door's open. But they're not going anywhere. Why? Because they hit their head a few times and they think, well, I better not try that again. We make a mistake, and sometimes instead of learning from the mistake, we allow it to shut us down and we don't ever stretch. We don't dream. We don't grow beyond where we're at because we're living not in faith, but in fear. God wants His people to stretch and to grow up in Him and take on more responsibility. Amen? In the kingdom. I'm just going to play it safe. I'm just going to sit in the pew and I'm going to say, Lord, kill the giant. Get rid of the giant. What is God telling His people to do? He says, you get up and you kill the giant. I told you to go into the land. I told you that every place the soles of your feet will trot, I've given you. as an inheritance. Amen? You've got to go in and dispossess them. I delivered you out of Egypt. I delivered you out of bondage by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Through the cross, we've been brought into new life. But now you're going to face those giants of sin. You're going to face those giants of fear. And you're going to have to conquer them, or you'll never enter into my rest. But I've told you to do it because I've authorized you, I've commissioned you, I've given you authority in my name to take authority over principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. There is no power in hell that is stronger than the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've got to believe that all things are possible. And if God is telling us, I want you to grow. I want you to stretch. I want you to step into that ministry. See, a lot of people will live their life as Christians. They go to church. They do good things. They read their Bible. They have a relationship with the Lord to a certain degree. But then when God is challenging them to step out in faith and do something that they know humanly is impossible, that's where they put on the clamps and they say, oh, no, I can't do that because that's impossible. Yes. With man, this may be impossible, but with God, things. And so God is telling us to step out of the boat. Amen. You can sit in the boat and tremble in fear, or you can get out on the water where Jesus is at. Amen. Like Peter. See, he would have never had any success at all if he hadn't at least gotten out of the boat. Thank God he was willing to walk on the water. Amen. I know we like to criticize Peter and say, oh, Peter, he didn't have very much faith. He got on that water and he looked at the water and he saw the wind and the waves and he sunk. Well, Peter got on a boat. How many of us would do the same thing? How many of us would get out in the water with Jesus? If Jesus is on the water, that's where you want to be. You don't want to be in the boat if he's what? On the water. Because where he is, there's life. See, people are dying. They're in their spiritual life, they're just withering. Because God is on the move, but they're not moving with God. They're just content to sit in the camp. They come and they sit in church, and I hope I'm not talking to anybody today. But we sit, we soak, and we sour because we're not out actively, come on somebody, amen, using what we receive or what we've been equipped to use. How many know our Christianity is much more than just coming to church on Sunday morning? It's a daily walk, isn't it? Where is your assignment? Where did God place you? That's your ministry. Wherever we find ourselves, we're on assignment, aren't we? We're on the mission field, wherever we are. And the will of God for you may not be the will of God for me, but I need to discover what the will of God is for me, and I'm going to be responsible for what I knew to do. I want to hear Jesus say, well done. Amen? I don't want to hear him say, well, I gave you this deposit, this divine money. What did you do with it? Well, I was fearful and I hid it in the earth. I buried it. I didn't do anything with it because I was afraid. How many know that God would never call you to do something or send you anywhere where he's not going to be? He will be where he tells you to be. Did God call you here today? Did you hear that right voice today? You came this morning, amen. God called you to be here. And guess what? God was here because he's where he tells you to be. He tells us to be in church, doesn't he? As often as possible, we should be gathering. But we're here to be equipped. You hear the stories of the 30 or 40-year-old kid in his mother's basement, playing video games all day long. He's in his little happy place, comfort zone, totally unproductive, but he's comfortable in that familiar place. In my little fantasy world, away from it all. I remember hearing, what was his name, E.V. Hill. Remember the old black preacher, E.V. Hill? He's awesome. He passed away, he's been with the Lord now. But one day he said, you know what? Once you've been hatched, you're hatched. You can't go back. Amen? In other words, God says, I've hatched you. I've raised you up for such a time as this. This is your opportunity to shine. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm for you. Know that I'll provide all of your needs. If you obey me and do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your needs. Amen? You will be a well-watered garden. You will be refreshed daily as you walk and abide in the will of God for your life. You will find what's called satisfaction. You will be satisfied in Him. God brought Israel out of Egypt. Not that they would die in the wilderness, that's what they thought. But He brought them out to take Him in somewhere. To bring Him into Canaan. God has brought us out of bondage to bring us into His rest, into His victory. Do you understand, folks? I said this Sunday night, but the devil is in trouble. Listen, but he doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to believe that. He's a bluffer. He's in trouble. He knows he's got a short time. If the people of God don't know that, then they're no threat to him. But if you know that he's in trouble, that the dread of God is actually on them and not on us, and that there are many more with us than against us. Amen. Because the devil, he can only magnify evil to make it look bigger than it really is. So if you start believing in that instead of the God, the Almighty God, then you'll start worshiping what you fear. You'll start bowing down to the fear of change. And you'll quit moving forward. You'll quit growing because you're just comfortable to stay in a place where you know it's predictable. And you can control everything that's going on. How many know that's not real ministry? Real ministry was out on the water with Jesus. Not in the place of the familiar. And so there's this tyranny of the familiar. We see that in North Korea, how the people are under tyranny and under oppression, and they've been raised all their life with a slave mentality. They don't know anything else. And so occasionally somebody will be able to infiltrate into South Korea and get free from that. And they'll come down and they'll be blown away because of all the lies they've been told about how life is in the South. And they're coming there and they said there's food everywhere. There's clothing. There's beautiful lights and buildings and shiny things everywhere. And this is not what we were told. But somebody was willing to take the risk to get out of that situation and say, if we stay here, we're going to die. We might as well make the break and go for it. And so they come down to the South, and some people do really well. They prosper, amen, in that situation. But then you have other people who, once they get down there, they were so indoctrinated. They were so poisoned in their minds and their understanding that they cannot handle freedom. And they would rather go back in slavery than to walk as a free people. Are you hearing me? That was the problem with Israel. When God brought them out of slavery, they still had the mentality of a slave. And God wanted to take them into a place apart from all that so that He could teach them what it was to be free in Him. To be able to hear the voice of God, to learn the voice of God, to learn the faithfulness of God, to know that God is going to provide, amen, for their needs. Even though sometimes they wondered because they were being tested. Hello? And when we're being tested, sometimes we wonder, well, God, are you there? Have you forgotten me? Do you remember me? And some of them, they began to grumble and they began to complain. Why? Because they got into unbelief. They were no longer believing that God took them out of Egypt, hear me, to bring them into their promise. And if we want to just be comfortable and sit where we've always sat, do what we've always done, and we don't want to stir anything and anything trouble in our life, well, you may just have that benefit of staying there. But you know what? You're going to end up compromising what could be yours because you weren't willing to take the risk. I know some of us are willing to get out there, beat the sidewalk, do what we got to do. Amen. And God will honor that. And His timing is always perfect. Amen. But we're willing to step out of the familiar because we know that God's not there anymore. That was the problem. Amen. is that sometimes people, that they get into a situation or into a church or they have a tradition. You know, we always do church this way. We always sing our three songs. We have our sermon. We, you know, we do our thing. And I like that. Why? Because I'm comfortable doing that. I'm familiar with that. And so 20 years later, you come back to the same situation and it's dead. Because God's doing something different, something new. God has moved on, and they're still sitting back in yesteryear. And then many of them, they just sit around and they say, "Oh, do you remember the good old days? Do you remember when the Holy Ghost was poured out? How about discovering what God is doing now? Quit living out of the past, out of your past victories." Amen. Live in the moment with the Lord. He's taking us somewhere. He didn't bring us out of Egypt just to have us sit and soak, amen, in neutrality, but to bring us into His abundance. Okay, here comes the scripture. Philippians 3. How many know this one? Verse 13 and 14. Here's one of the greatest apostles of all times, Paul the Apostle, who had all kinds of credentials, degrees, if you will, of that day. He was a tremendous student of the law. He memorized the first five books of the Bible. And he said, after he had this encounter with Jesus, it really messed him up in a good way. Everything that he had confidence in, everything he had trusted in, everything that he could boast in was no longer relevant. God was breaking him out of the old so he could bring him into the new. God was taking Saul of Tarsus out of what was into what is. And so God sovereignly intervened in Saul's life. Even when he was persecuting the church, remember he was a terrorist. God says, "I'm going to use him." Huh. The most unlikely. The one that persecuted the church would be the biggest blessing to the church. That's how God works. And then he says this. He says, "Brethren," verse 13, "I do not count myself to have apprehended." He said, I haven't arrived. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." If we could just get a hold of this, how many of us know this by heart? But how many of us are actually living this? How many know the enemy is constantly trying to bring up the past? Remind you of what was and how good it was. Or even talk about, get you into the place where you're just talking about what used to be. Which, you know, those are precious memories, but we don't want to camp in the past. Amen? We want to be moving with the glory of God. Where is God taking us now? He moves us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We're pressing on, he said. I'm not looking back. I'm not even counting any of that stuff. All of my accomplishments in this world, he said, are nothing in comparison to knowing him. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind, verse 13, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, Paul knew that it wasn't possible to reach a state of sinlessness. 1 John tells us, I think it's 1 John, it says, if we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us. Okay, he wasn't talking about reaching some point of sinlessness, but what God did do through the cross, are you hearing me? Is he set us free from the power and the burden of sin. So therefore, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I don't have to obey sin because I'm a child of God now. God has already broken the power of sin in my life. So if I decide to go out and sin, it was my decision. It wasn't that the devil made me do it. It's that I just cooperated with the wrong person. Amen? And you know what his plan is, right? Is to destroy you. I mean, you know, it's a good idea to listen to God and not that other voice. Because he doesn't care about you at all. He hates your guts. He doesn't do anything good for us. He may make it look good, but it doesn't mean it is good. That's why we're not to live by our sight, amen? Our natural sight or reason. So Paul is saying here, you know, I haven't arrived. You know, I haven't got to a place in my life where there's no further progress required, you know, or where I can't have further progress. How many know that this is an important thing for us to understand, is that God's best for you and where you are now, amen, there is a gap. There is a distance between what God wants for you and where you are presently. But hear me, if the devil can convince you that where you're at is fine, no need to pray, seek God, no need to grow in knowledge and in grace. If he can convince us that where we're at is a place where we can just be satisfied. You know, there's a lot of people today that think obeying God is optional. If I feel like it. I mean, you know, obedience to God is not optional. He is the King of kings. When a king gives a command, it's not optional. There's another term that I discovered in my research. It says this: satisfaction is the grave of progress. Think about it. Satisfaction is the grave of progress. In other words, if I allow myself to become complacent, to get into a place of apathy, just to kind of sit in the familiar, and I'm not willing to get up and move with God, then I will actually abort the will of God for my life. I will prevent God's plan from coming to fruition in my life. Paul said we're in a race, and you have to run with the intent of getting the prize, of finishing this race. He says you don't get in a race and begin to run and just decide, you know what, I like where I'm at along the path here. I think I'm just going to sit down and stay here because it's comfortable. And I'm going to create a little familiar spot for myself here. And you know what? If you do that, you're not going to reach your destiny. Do you understand that it's our responsibility to move with God, to obey His voice, to allow His Holy Spirit to direct our steps? And we need to stay in step with the Holy Spirit, because if Israel had not followed the cloud by day in the fire, by night in the wilderness, they would not have entered into the land. Amen. And most of them did not, because they just refused to believe God. They thought obeying God was optional. They didn't learn to listen to His voice. They didn't trust God. If we really trust God, then we will obey God. Isn't that true? And if we really love Jesus, like we say we do, we will obey Him. And His commandment is love. Satisfaction. Being satisfied in a marred state. God's got us on the wheel. And sometimes life can be a wild ride. Sometimes that wheel is moving pretty quick and things are happening and things are hitting us, and we're like that marred clay that God is doing something with. But in the process of God molding us, sometimes it's painful. It's certainly unfamiliar. But we don't want to be the stubborn, amen, clay that refuses to be molded. You got to get some water on that clay. You got to soften that clay. Amen. We need the Word and the Spirit working in our lives. We need to be people of prayer, people of His presence. You see, the familiar is like this. I come and I do a thing. On Sunday morning, I do an event. It's called church. Because I got a pretty good idea. And here, it's kind of hard to know, but what's going to happen? And because that's a comfortable place to go. And people come to churches and they say, you know, I like this church because it makes me feel comfortable. Well, let me ask you, is being comfortable always the will of God? Okay. So just because I feel comfortable in something that I'm allowing in my life doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in the will of God. As a matter of fact, sometimes the will of God will make you uncomfortable initially, at first. Have you ever heard the term short-term pain for long-term gain? I'm going to say it again. Short-term pain for long-term gain. Israel needed to learn in the wilderness that God was going to guide them. He was going to provide for them. He was going to comfort them. He was going to be the one, amen, that would bring them into their inheritance. As a matter of fact, God took them out of Egypt to bring them into something. God had already, in His mind, those giants were already defeated. Sin has already been defeated. Jesus Christ has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, amen? And we can overcome by faith in what He's accomplished. You and I are not here to defeat the giants in the sense that we're going to do it. Jesus has already defeated the giants. We're called to enforce what He's already done. He said, wherever the soles of your feet, He told Joshua, wherever the soles of your feet trod, I've given you. But that means you're going to have to walk with Me. You're going to have to do this thing with Me, and you're going to have to leave the familiar behind. You may want to stay on that side of the Jordan, but in order for you to enter into My promise, you're going to have to come with Me through the waters. But when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Amen. And when you come into the land, I know you didn't anticipate this, but there's giants in the land. But guess what? I've already dealt with the giants. I've given it to you as an inheritance. You go in and you use the weapons of My warfare that are not carnal but mighty through your God. Amen. To pull down these strongholds. And they obeyed God. They did what God told them to do. And they had over 30 different enemies that are armies that they had to deal with. And they had three major campaigns in the land. What was the purpose of that? Because God told them, I delivered you out of Egypt, but I'm telling you, and I'm giving you the authority to destroy the giants that are in the land. If you don't deal with the giants in your life, if you just want to make agreements with them, you want to enter into a bargain with the devil, say, oh Lord, I know this is getting pretty hard. You know, and sometimes we do. We say, I won't make a bargain with the devil, but sometimes we do. Why? Because we accept things the way they are. We just get used to having things a certain way. Oh, I just have these nightmares all the time. It's just kind of the way it's been for years. I mean, you know that nightmares don't come from God. Amen? That comes from the devil. And so the devil will say, too big, too much, too long, impossible, can't be free of it. What you need to do is just accept it, that this is going to have to be the way it is. Well, I'm being tormented with fear. And it's been this way for so long, and the enemy comes along and says, it's because it's too strong, it's too big, it's too powerful, it's too beyond what God could do for you. You prayed about it, right? Yeah, nothing happened, sure. So He talks us out of faith, and that's what He's after, is just, she's after your faith. And so then you say, well, okay, I guess I'll just have to accept things the way they are. I'll have to live my life in this prison of fear. And I'm just going to stay in what's familiar. I'm going to live my life in front of my tablet. I'm going to live my life in front of the television. I'm going to live my life with the music blaring 24/7 in my ears because I don't want to face the giants. I just want to be left alone, and I want to be in this place of contentment and satisfaction. What we need to say is no more. God has already given me victory. God has gone before me. God had already dealt with the devil. The devil knows he's in trouble. But he doesn't want you to know that. Because if you don't know that, and you don't know who you are in Christ, then you will yield to that liar. And you'll end up staying in this place of familiarity and you will miss the will of God for your life. He's a thief and he wants to rob you of your destiny. Just like he robbed Israel. How many know the devil was active in the children of Israel in the wilderness? He was the one that was sowing unbelief and doubt in their hearts. So that they would believe the lie rather than the truth. They were the ones who said, wouldn't it be better if we went back to Egypt? Hither they got free. They were rejoicing. Finally we're free after all these years of bondage. And now they find themselves up against a new challenge. Come on, somebody. And they're saying, oh, it would have been better if we just go back to the familiar. To what we're used to. To what we can control. At least we know when we had to get up, when we had to eat, when we had to work, and when we need to go to bed. Do you understand? It's the same thing as if you've been incarcerated for a while. You can get into a mindset of just being told what to do all the time. And then all of a sudden it's like, you don't have a mind of your own. Why? Because everybody else is telling you what to do. And you can get comfortable in that place of just being told what to do. Everybody else controlling your life around you. But when you're free, when the prison doors are open and you're allowed to go out, you're a free man and you need to walk in your freedom. You don't want to go back into bondage. You don't want to go back to that place. Amen? You want to get rid of that mentality. It says, well, this is who I am. I'm not a slave. I'm a son. Amen? I'm a son of God. I'm a free man. The prison doors have been opened. What's keeping me from walking out into freedom? Fear? Well, guess what? Fear's already been destroyed. Jesus has overcome fear. So if I'm fearful, it means I need to get closer to Jesus. Because in God's presence, there is no fear. His perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? When you're close to Jesus, there is confidence in God. When you walk in His presence, you have a supernatural confidence. You have a boldness that you don't have naturally. To where you will do things that naturally you wouldn't do. Oh, I would never get up deliberately and give a speech in front of a crowd. And God says, oh, that's the one I'm going to save and I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to use him to be my mouthpiece. That's how he does it. So he takes us in our weakness and he turns our weakness into a strength because now I have to rely on, trust on the ability that God supplies so that the ministry of his spirit can come through. Otherwise, if I'm confident in myself, you're going to get me and you're not going to get what you need. And the same thing is true of all of us in our ministries. Everybody here is a minister to some degree. People don't need us. They need Jesus. Amen. So we got to get out of the way. We need to put our confidence, our trust in His ability. And God is going to stretch you. God is going to grow you. God is going to bring you into a place where you've never been before. He's going to break you out of the familiar. He's going to put you on that wheel and He's going to spin it. And He's going to do some work. And you're wondering what's going on. Well, you need to know that God says, I've got you in the palm of my hand. And no one is able to pluck you out of my hand. Did I not tell you that I would never leave you nor forsake you? Even if you don't understand with your mind, you've got to believe the heart of God that He doesn't lie. You hang on, amen, and say, okay, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hold on by faith, amen, and I'm going to declare with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that God is with me, God is for me, God is not against me. God is my Lord, amen. He's my Savior. A strong tower, my deliverer, amen. Do you understand? When Israel find themselves in the place of change, they thought it would have been better just to go back to the familiar. But if they had gone back, they would have not entered into God's promise. See, God wants to take us out of the place where we struggle, where we're fearful, where we're insecure, when we have no peace, when our conscience is eating us up, when there's guilt and there's shame and all this garbage that the enemy's thrown on us. God wants to take us into a place where we're at peace, where we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, where we have completely surrendered and yielded ourselves to His Lordship and allowed Him to live in us and through us. You see, the giants have been defeated already. The devil is in trouble. He just doesn't want you to know that. Does the Word not tell us that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world? But if we don't believe that, we won't live that. If we believe that that sin or that habit or that addiction or whatever it might be is so big and so impossible, then we will continue to serve it, because you will serve that which you fear. But if you can understand that that thing that is staring you in the face has already been defeated by Jesus Christ, and that the Lord has ascended, amen, to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit upon His church and authorized you and I to enforce what He's already accomplished by saying, in the name of Jesus, I will no longer bow down to this. I will no longer give myself to fornication or adultery. I will no longer allow fear to torment my mind. I will no longer allow fear and contention in my family. Amen? I'm taking authority over it, and I'm going to enforce what Jesus has already done. Because I believe. Forgetting those things which are behind. It's okay to look back, but it's not okay to stare. Amen. We can go back and say, Lord, thank you for those moments, those memories. Sometimes those things can help us reorientate us. Amen. They're like recalibrations times, you know, the Bethels along the way. But we don't want to stay there. We don't want to camp out of that. And oh, precious memories, how they linger. Come on, somebody. What is God doing now? Find out what He's doing. Get with Him, and that's where life is. You want to be alive? You want to be refreshed? You want to be full of the Holy Spirit? Abide in Him. He's going to be where He told you to be. Lord, where are we going today? What are we doing today? What's our assignment today? Lord, I don't want to go anywhere without You. If You're going that way, I'm going with You. Amen. Got to be like Elisha, remember? He's just saying, well, wherever you go, Elijah, I'm going with you. He said, oh, you need to stay back here. I'm going up ahead. No, I'm going with you. I don't want to be without you. See, if Israel hadn't listened and followed the cloud, they would have got lost. And sometimes that's what happens. We get misoriented. We get lost because God was moving and we're not paying attention. Because God has been speaking, but we're not listening. We think that, oh, one of these days, yeah, not right now, God, but one of these days I'll obey You. Guess what? God's already moved on, and you're just sitting back in that place of rebellion. And then we're saying, oh, God, why aren't You speaking to me anymore? You know what the Lord says? He says, what did you do with the last assignment I gave you? You understand? We want God to speak to us, but are we listening to what He's saying already? I want to be obedient. How about you? I want to live my life daily. And you know, all you got to do is just make a little correction. Remember that? You don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. All you need to do is a little recalibration and say, Lord, forgive me. I haven't been listening. I haven't been following You closely. I've been allowing these other things to pull me away from You. But Lord, I want to follow with You. I want to obey You. I want to walk with You. Lord, I want to enter into that destiny that You have for me. I don't want to fall in the wilderness. I don't want to be destroyed in this place. I want to stay with You. Wherever You go, that's where I want to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know if you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will direct your path. He'll make your path straight. Do you know, Matthew 6:33, if you seek His kingdom above everything else, then He'll take care of everything you have need of in this life. Don't get things out of priority, amen? Make sure God is your priority. The kingdom of God is your priority. The will of God is your priority. And then everything else that you have need of, He takes care of that stuff. If your business isn't going good, then put everything first. Put God first in everything in your business. Start honoring God with your business. Start giving God, amen, blessing others through what God brings in as your increase, amen. Honor God with your substance and He'll take care of the rest. So how many here are saying, you know what? I hear this today. I don't want to be stuck in the familiar. I don't want to be stuck in the past. I don't want to be stuck in what was. I'm tired of just sitting here, dwelling on, thinking on, just speaking on what used to be. The good old days. Do you know what? If we focus too long on the good old days, you're going to miss out what God is doing right now. So it's time just to say, you know what? We need to get up and we need to press on. If God is moving, I need to be moving with Him. If God is speaking, I need to be listening. If it's something that's going to take me out of my comfort zone, good. Because that's where you'll find God. God takes us out on the limb, amen? That's where the fruit is. The fruit is out on the limb. God takes us out of the boat. He takes us into the unknown. He takes us to the places where we're going to have to believe Him. But when we obey His voice and do what He tells us to do, He shows up there and He manifests Himself. If God is telling you to pray for somebody, lay hands on them, don't worry about it. Just go do it in obedience and watch what God will do. If God's telling you to witness to a friend, don't worry about it. Don't premeditate. You might, what if? Just say, if God tells you to do it, He's going to supply the grace for you to do it. He's going to be where He told you to be. And if you speak that word that He's given you, it will produce in that person what He sent it forth to do. But we've got to listen. So if you're fearful of really stepping out for God, then I want to encourage you, even today, before you leave here, to come down to this altar and get filled up. Amen? I mean, really, let God fill you. Amen. So that you are leaving in the confident assurance of God. You are going to have the boldness that the Holy Spirit alone can give you. And you're going to be able to do what you wouldn't be able to do naturally. If you're here today and you're not born again, if you were to die and you know that you're probably not going to end up in heaven, I want to encourage you to make sure you make your peace with God today. Amen. That you give your heart to Jesus Christ, that you trust Him with your heart, trust Him with your life. He wants to save. That's why He came. He didn't come to condemn, but He came to save us. Amen. So you got to come in through the door, through Jesus. Amen. You got to get saved. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, I want you just to come on down. We want to pray for you. Amen. And maybe you could help somebody if they need it. But just come on down. If you're not saved, you know, you're really not born again. You're not really sure if things are right between you and your God. Are you going to be humble enough to just say, okay, I don't care what people think. I need to get right with God. Because if you obey God and you obey His voice, He will meet you in that place of obedience. If you need to get right with God, just come on down here and we're going to pray for you. If you're here today and maybe you're dealing with fear in your life, you've been having a stronghold of fear, I want you to come down and I want you to pray. Okay, we're going to dismiss in just a moment, but I want you to come down and I want you to pray. And we're going to pray over you if you'd like. Amen, that God's going to break that thing off of you. How many know that God has already defeated fear? Amen. So we're going to take authority in His name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, today I ask You by Your Holy Spirit to draw us all closer to You. I pray for Your will to be done in every heart, every life here today, Father. As in heaven, so on earth. Lord, we pray that You would fill us with the power of Your Holy Spirit. And give us that confidence, God, in You. To know, God, that You are with and that You are for us and not against us. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that You give courage to those that You've been speaking to today, Lord, to make that step and to come down, Lord, and get some prayer today. Lord, that we can go on in life, that we can break out of the box of the predictable, break out of the familiar place, God, that we might meet You in the place where You're at today. God, help us to break out of the past and to enter into the right now with You. In Jesus' name, Father God, thank You, God.